Today's scripture reading is Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9, an appeal to the prophet's audience to participate in the restoration. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. A call to repentance. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteousness their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For all the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, that's today's chosen sermon, or scripture. You may remember a few weeks back, Bill gave an example of Robin giving a scripture reading of her own. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to do that today. I did read the chosen scripture first, though. No disrespect is meant here. We are all brothers and sisters in God's eye. We are all sons and daughters of God. My scripture choice for today, and I know God's scripture choice for today, is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Bill, the salutation has been added. Bill, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And thus continues today's scripture.
Thank you. Where's that peanut butter? Today's scriptures, the Old Testament reading, is meant to be the prophets speaking for God to call Israel to what God intended for his chosen people. And that was to be a beacon to the other nations of the world, and to show them how to live in what we now call the kingdom of heaven, to be examples of and vessels of the divine love and forgiveness in this world, to be peacemakers, to show the people how to live. Now, Israel didn't do that. Some did, but not all. But the idea was that as the chosen people, collectively, as a group, they would bring about the new order of things and the true life. The way to understand Jesus as the Christ and the events that occurred with him is that it became clear then that the chosen people collectively were not going to do that. And what happened then was individually, people chose the new way, the way of Christ, the way of God, to live in what we would call the kingdom of heaven, to make a choice. And so those people came from all over, here, there, everywhere, but not collectively the people of Israel. So there's a companion story in the recommended scripture readings for today, and it's a story about a fig tree. And the landowner comes and he sees this fig tree, which has been there for years and has never borne fruit. Never had gotten any figs from it. And he says to the gardener, cut this tree down. It's just taking up space. It's not bearing fruit. It's not doing anything. The gardener, sort of reminiscent of Abraham's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah, the gardener says, oh, give it another year. Let me tend it. Let me take care of it. Let me spread manure around it. And then if next year, if it hasn't borne fruit, then we can cut it down. Give it some more time. Now that's the appeal of the gospel. The fig tree represents Israel, and they were supposed to bear the fruit of the divine love as called for in today's reading from Isaiah, God's own love. They were supposed to show all these fruits of the Spirit, but they did not. God is ready to give up on them, cut them loose, so this appeal is made. Jesus has come to call the people to at last decide to live as God intended, as God called them to do. The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. Enter it. Make it real in the world. So we have this image here of the gardener spreading manure around the tree to make it grow. And I know we have this negative connotation about manure, especially with regarding horses. And now I'm aware that many clergy do spread that sort of manure. And I don't see that as it led to appreciable growth in their gardens. But let's look at it as manure in the sense of proper nourishment, giving the tree what it needs and seems to be lacking to bear fruit. So this manure would be the nourishment of the Spirit and the true Word of God. Now you may be wondering what this sermon title is all about, figs, onions, and manure. Well, I've explained the figs and the manure so far, but the onions will come. As I was preparing for today's sermon, which is going to be my last one from this here in my current capacity, though I'm sure it's not going to be the last one from this pulpit, I thought of my first sermon from this pulpit, my candidating sermon, back in the summer of 1981. I still remember it. I still remember why I gave it. Now, I never write my sermons down, so you're not going to get the same sermon, but the same ideas. As I was getting used to kind of looking over you, the congregation, the church, the town, I stood on the corner out there and I looked down Harris Street down towards the lake. And while I was standing there, I could see all the wires crisscrossing, you know, and the buildings were, some of them were kind of shabby looking, and off in the distance was the beautiful lake. And I thought, now here's a good illustration, is a good example of the United Church of Christ. See, there are some churches and some religious groups who always seem to focus just on the dross, you know, they look down and they'll see all the wires and the junk and the buildings, and then they want to turn their back on this world and reject it and only think about let's go off to heaven and we don't even have to care about this world. And then there are some other religious groups and churches that would only look at the lake and deliberately overlook. They wouldn't let the reality of the wires and the peeling paint impinge on them. They would want to make everything pretty and safe looking. And the reason that I chose the United Church of Christ and the reason that I affirm it is that we want to do both, and we urge our people to do both, to live in the real world, but to be aware of a better one. We want to see the wires and cables overhead and the peeling paint, but we also at the same time want to see the lake in the distance and the beauty of it. And we want to see them all at the same time. That is, we want balance between the ideal and the real, the spiritual, the material. We have one foot here in the earth and one foot in heaven. That's, we're in the world but not of it. At the time that I went to seminary, a motivation of mine was that much as I affirmed the social gospel and social action of the United Church of Christ, at that time there was some concern that the denomination as a whole would forget why it was doing that. The social action is good, but if it's not grounded in spiritual nourishment and a spiritual understanding, then it soon wears people out and it soon fizzles. So to be sustained, it has to have a spiritual support. And that was not only my concern, but as I went to, when I got to seminary, I discovered it was concern of several other people who were there for the same reason. That was early on that people were making career changes. Now it's very common. But out of my class, there were five of us. We called ourselves the retreads. But now, well over 40% of every seminary class are people making career changes in their later years, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So all of us resolved that that whatever else we would do, that when we went, when we served churches and preached, that we would always hold up the scripture and the spiritual realities, so that we would have a basis on which to ground our social action and social gospel. And so that bears fruit then. That is the feeding of the tree and continuing to bear fruit. It doesn't get worn out. It doesn't get tired. Now, what about the onions? Look at onions. They're remarkable creations of God. They have in them everything they need to sprout and grow and bear fruit. All they need to do is be put in prepared ground and given some nurturing, just what it needs. And then you just leave them alone and let them grow as God intends them to grow. And look, they come in all colors, white, red, brown. And isn't it interesting that each one is precious in the sight of God, and each one has been created in the same way with everything that it needs to grow and bear fruit, blossom as God intended. Now, so it is with us individually. We have within us the image of God. We have that everything that we need to grow and bear fruit as God sees it that we can do. So then also does our congregation as a whole. We have within us as a congregation everything that we need to bear fruit and to grow as God sees for us. All that we need is the proper manure, which I've been spreading for these several years. The right conditions and the willingness to let it happen. God's purpose for us is actually being fulfilled. You need only look around and see what our church life is. However, there is yet more in store for us. So don't stop. The onion doesn't say, okay, I've gotten this far, now I'm going to just stop and I'll watch the other onions grow. The onion grows until it bears fruit. So let's together fulfill God's plan for us. This plan will unfold as we go along. We go on. We go on fed by the Word of God, stimulated by the Holy Spirit, nurtured by the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we will celebrate together today. This sacrament today, this communion today, and this particular day should not be seen as an ending in itself of what has been, but an opening into what is yet to come.